Welcome to New World Notes, hosted by Kenneth Doust. This week, just in time for asparagus season, Chaz K's fine collage on the horrors of agricultural biotech. I hope you'll stay tuned. It's spring at last in southern New England, and not a moment too soon. No nest of Phoebes over our front door this year, but robins have moved into the pre-owned nest in a bush out front. The nest now has three babies. They spend much of the day with their heads tilted back, their beaks wide open, waiting for a government handout, I guess. Further proof that socialism destroys individual initiative. Or something. Just kidding, of course. And in fact, the local institutions that are genuinely socialist all seem to be working quite well, thank you. These include the municipal water and sewer systems, the municipal trash and leaf collections, the town's two libraries, parks and recreation, and even the public school system. Progressive political scientist Michael Parenti confesses to a soft spot in his heart for some mom-and-pop capitalist enterprises. And I feel the same. In this case, mom-and-pop are Tom and Sherry, with their organic farm 10 miles from here, near where the towns of Bolton, Hebron, and Andover meet, and doubtless quarrel. At Tom and Sherry's, this year's first crop is now in, asparagus. My wife is the family's big asparagus lover, actually, not I. But I will say that this locally grown, freshly picked asparagus is so good you can eat it raw. Lettuce will be late this year, but if you're into asparagus, this is your moment. Speaking of agriculture, now that the academic semester is over, I've been catching up on my listening, and I was struck by one of the inventive and important audio collages by Virtual Renderings, also known as Chaz K. He created this one back in 2013. 5 years later, the piece is just as timely and important as it was then. We have not heard it before on New World Notes, so why not now? It's about the insanity and the dangers and the demonstrable bad effects of genetic monkeying with our food supply. No offense to actual monkeys. Today's installment focuses on two parts of the Ag Biotech Horror Show. These are splicing genes from one species into another, and relatedly, the dangers of glyphosate, Monsanto's Roundup, to the human body. So grab a spear of organic asparagus, then munch along with part one of Virtual Renderings collage, Abominable Ways of Biotech.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
So do you know what genetically modified foods are?
Like tomatoes and things they do, like to make them last longer when they ship them and stuff. Right.
Bettered or improved by species, by collecting the best of and keep going.
But I've heard of them. Yeah, I don't know how big of a fan I am, but...
Right.
Yeah, I don't really know if it's good or bad.
Do you know that we've been eating these foods for the last 10 years?
No, I haven't known that. Where do they normally sell those kind of foods?
I'm kind of taken back by it. I thought it was just grown in soil, and I didn't know they were modifying my food.
I know.
It's kind of scary.
Well, I know it's been a while. I didn't realize quite that long.
Welcome to the real world.
Americans get sick more often than Europeans and people in other industrialized countries, and they're getting sicker. Since the mid-90s, the number of Americans suffering from at least three chronic illnesses nearly doubled, and America's international ranking for infant mortality and lifespan also plunged. There are many reasons why this is taking place. One may be right in front of you.
They take genes from one species and force it into the DNA of other species. The very process of genetic engineering creates unpredicted side effects.
It does not exist anywhere in nature.
They can put it out on the market without telling the FDA or consumers.
Every single cell within that plant is producing a toxic protein.
BT is designed to break open the stomach of insects and kill them. The EPA got it wrong. It does break open little pores in human cells, and it might cause the same kind of disruption in our guts as it's causing in the insects that it kills.
How did my son get these food allergies? Our food supply is genetically modified. And guess what? The food that my son ate on August 25th, 2009 was raw corn. The corn that almost killed him.
We're continuing to feed our GMO contaminated food to our children.
Genetic engineering is a false promise whose high price has already been paid by the farmers of this country. Multinationals have grabbed the seed economy, which used to be a farmer's economy, it used to be a women's economy, and now are bringing unreliable, untested seeds to the market, pushing our farmers to suicide. We happen to be sitting in the middle of all the seed industry shops right here. Monsanto this side, Syngenta shops that side. The next lane is all selling seeds of suicide.
Now you've got companies that are putting foreign genes into animals and fish that are changing the crops of the world fundamentally at the genetic level and polluting, you know, the planet with the genetic pollution. And once again, only a few scientists, corporations, and government regulators are making the decision. There's no democratic decision making. These technologies are legislation. They're going to affect our lives more than any law passed by any legislature around the world.
I think I'm ready for a dietary change. But how in the world do I know who to trust? Oh, and everybody's making contradictory claims, complicating it all so much. So I listen to the source that the big food companies endorse. Then of course, I'm in the best of hands. But if there's something fishy with the things we see at the Dietitian's Academy, we should question if their opinions are independent. What if health authorities recommended what the big food companies said they can't think? If we put them to the test, we'd find they've been influenced just like the rest. It's a conflict of interest.
What does that mean?
It means buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Kansas is going bye-bye.
The saddest thing for me is that every failure from the perspective of a poor peasant and a small farmer in this country is not a failure from the perspective of these companies. I, in fact, traveled with one of them about 2 decades ago. And they said to us, it doesn't matter if the crops don't do well, it's all right, they'll come back for more of our seeds. The farmer gets wiped out, the land gets wiped out, the company's markets grow. And that, I think, is the real tragedy of genetic engineering, that the failure of agriculture is a market success for the corporation.
It's very important to think that this, once this biological contamination is very different than chemical contamination. If you have an oil spill, it will dilute over time. Even a chemical spill will dilute over time. This is not chemical pollution. This is about living pollution, biological pollution. Once these fish are released into a bay or a river, you can't recall them. No scientist can say, come back, please. You can't put a net and get them. It's over. It's over. And in the United States, we have yet to have our first law. We don't have a single law which regulates this kind of biological pollution. It is completely unregulated, even though its effects will be catastrophic, and you will not be able to remedy those. You'll not be able to recall this.
To avoid bad mouthing of your products, just pay the right people's bills. Take a hint from the dairy industry. Convince so many they need pasteurized animal milk. When you're teaching dietitians artificial sweeteners and fluoride are safe for kids, well, now you've made it obvious that you've been influenced. 'Cause when soda and junk food companies are publicly giving you your funds, now to say anything in defense of them is insulting my intelligence. 'Cause it seems a bit naive if you really can't believe, after taking their money, they'd ever say those products were unhealthy. Even if it's true, are they really looking out for them instead of you? What would you do? What if health authorities only recommended what the big food companies said they care?
This one gene, one protein, one trait caricature of how genetics works, that's the whole foundation of the biotechnology industry, is a complete misrepresentation of everything we know about how genetics in complex organisms actually works.
Biotechnologists think genes are genes. It doesn't matter where you stick them, and they'll just function the way they normally do. Any geneticist who thinks about that should know better. Genes don't function alone. They function within the context of the entire genome. Nature acts on the entire genome because after fertilization, there are whole sets of genes turned on and off in the proper sequence so that you get the development of a complete organism. So that whole orchestration is an integrated genome that acts as a complete entity. To take a gene out of a fish and stick it into a plant means the fish gene suddenly wakes up and goes, where the hell am I? Who are all these other genes around me? Because you've altered the context within which that gene is found. It would be like taking Bono out of U2 and putting him into the New York Philharmonic Orchestra and say, okay, folks, play music. Well, you get noise of some sort, but nobody can anticipate what the sum total of that activity will be. It's just a mistake to think that genes act as if their traits are expressed regardless of where they exist.
The goal of Monsanto was to replace all natural seed, to have all global agriculture completely driven by genetically modified seed, and to create a market for the chemicals associated with those genetically modified seed. There was no sense of nature. There was discussion of how to eliminate natural seed.
When I get in discussions with people, they say, well, the government reviewed them, the governments approved them, there were mountains of studies done. They couldn't have gotten it that wrong, and if it was so bad, somebody would speak up about it. But in reality, the few people that have spoken up about it have paid a high personal and professional price for it.
Because of the direct investments of these companies in our universities, new professors know very well that if you expect to get tenure, don't do any negative research on GMO.
Nutritional advice has got corporate money invested to ensure they monopolize, making recommendations so blatantly on behalf of sponsoring industry. Got respect for dietitians who think for themselves, but your organization doing something else, like the inmates running.
Now, Roundup was originally patented as an herbicide by the company called Monsanto, and they own most of the patents for GMOs as well. And having studied Monsanto for a number of years, I can say that in their quieter, more reflective moments, they asked themselves, what would Darth Vader do? Because what they've come up with is a way of pretending that they're beneficial and then insinuating themselves into the food industry, the agriculture industry, and now it turns out that what they have is very, very dangerous. And among those very dangerous things is glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup. And it was the subject of a very comprehensive evaluation, an article co-written by Dr. Seneff, and it's called glyphosate. This is going to be more science than you're ready for, the name here. Mm. Glyphosate suppression of cytochrome P450 enzymes and amino acid biosynthesis by the gut microbiome, pathways to modern disease. Now, I looked at this paper, and it all reads like that. Very, very difficult to understand. But what jumped out at me in the abstract, I'm going to read it to you. The consequences of glyphosate and all the things that it can go wrong are most of the diseases and conditions associated with a Western diet, which include gastrointestinal problems, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression, autism, infertility, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease.
You have to let it all go. Fear, doubt, and disbelief. Free your mind.
Dysbiosis, what does that mean?
The gut bacteria are not properly balanced, and there's like inflammation, and there's leaky gut. And
technical term, messed
yeah,
up.
Okay. Yeah, and they have trouble eating lots of different things. They end up with gluten intolerance. Lots of the autistic kids are on a gluten-free diet. You know, you can see they've got problems in the gut. Number one. And number two is sulfur. There's a
sulfur.
Yeah, there's a clear problem with sulfur metabolites. Now, it turns out sulfur is incredibly important to the body, and there's very little talked about it. Actually, even in nutrition books, it's hardly mentioned. It doesn't have a minimum daily requirement. It's considered to be plentiful, and therefore we should never worry about a deficiency. And I believe this is a key problem in our nutritional space, that we have become blind to sulfur. And I think that, in fact, sulfur deficiency, and more specifically sulfate deficiency, and I'll get to that in a moment, is a key factor in all the modern problems that we're having. And it's something that is not on anybody's radar screen.
So first of all, the gut bacteria is involved with both the immune system and the digestive system. So when it's messed up, it can create a whole series of problems.
There's these two things, the gut bacteria. So the gut bacteria have the shikimate pathway. The shikimate pathway produces aromatic amino acids, and these are essential amino acids. We actually get them from our diet or from our gut bacteria.
So there's a bunch of amino acids that we have to get from outside. They're called essential. Now, is aromatic a subset of those?
Yes.
All right.
And we can't make them. Our chemistry doesn't allow us to make them, so if we don't get them from our diet. What happens then is that the gut bacteria being hit with glyphosate, they can't make these amino acids because of this shikimate pathway getting disrupted. And instead, they make other stuff because the pathway gets deflected into these other things. Mm-hmm. And the other things that they make are not good. There's, for example, P. cresol, which is made by C. difficile. C. difficile is a runaway pathogen that's been causing lots and lots of trouble in hospitals lately.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Clostridium difficile. Yeah. And it produces this thing called P. cresol, which is a toxic phenol. And so there's a lot of talk about toxic phenols being produced by the gut bacteria, and those things are toxic. They can disrupt your DNA. They can cause problems with your fats in your cell membranes. I mean, they basically are kind of a wrecking ball.
So we have wrecking balls being produced in our own gut bacteria,
right?
Because the shikimate pathway is no longer being able to function, so it's producing.
It's going to there instead.
It's saying,
like,
okay, we're going to produce these really horrible things.
Right. So that's one of them,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then there's a certain bacteria that can break down glyphosate, which is terrific. They can get rid of it. They're a really super deal. However, what they make is ammonia.
Great. Higher than the general population?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is it much higher?
Yes, well, I think so. And also in Alzheimer's. So both of them have
So Alzheimer's ammonia. And autistic kids have high levels of ammonia in the blood.
Yeah.
And we know that ammonia causes, what is it in the brain?
Encephalopathy, yeah.
Encephalitis.
It actually causes a very interesting, which I've written a paper about this, actually, a very interesting reaction in the brain. A severe case, you can have like a high fever, you can get seizures, you can get coma. But I think in the case of autism, there's a low-grade version of this problem going on chronically.
So we talked about the fact that glyphosate knocks off the shikimic pathway, and now what else are you going to tell me?
Yeah, so it does this by disrupting that pathway, and then it also interferes with these CYP enzymes through a totally different mechanism. It gets into the cells, and in particular in the liver. The liver has tons of these enzymes. One of the things these enzymes do is detoxify toxins. So it disrupts the enzymes that detoxify the other toxins that we're exposed to, which is really that's meta, you know?
That is. So in other words, there's this whole troop of people, of enzymes that go around and say, okay, clear it out. You've had stuff with this disease or this chemical or that chemical. You have these overgrowth of bacteria. So it all goes into the primary detoxifier, the liver.
Yes.
And then the whole troops that are out there cleaning up, they become disabled.
Disabled.
How bad? I mean, this cytochrome.
Cytochrome P450. P40. You can call it CYP. CYP.
CYP.
Yeah.
So CYP is really important to make these troops do the detoxification.
That's right.
And so, how does it? So you're saying that glyphosate not only blocks the shikimic pathway, but another pathway altogether.
Yeah, it interferes actually with the actual molecule all the different molecules that are CYP enzymes, and these enzymes are really interesting. They have huge roles in the body. They activate vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot to do with cholesterol homeostasis. And so I think that a lot of the problems people are having with cholesterol could be tied to this. And making the bile acids that will digest the fats.
Digest the fats, is that obesity?
Yeah, well, that's certainly part of that problem,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
The sex hormones, all the stuff that's involved with the sex hormones, aromatase is an enzyme that converts testosterone into estrogen. And one of the things that's associated with autism is aromatase deficiency, and glyphosate has been shown specifically to block aromatase. And so that's a specific example. Some of the other ones I'm generalizing from the evidence, because there's several papers that talk about glyphosate disrupting various CYP enzymes, and so you can infer that it would, and the mechanism that it uses is general to all of them.
Okay.
So you can infer that wherever it gets close to one of them, it's going to cause problems. And there's tons of them in the liver, and the glyphosate goes straight to the liver through the hepatic port of Lane vein. So you kind of put two and two together and get five of that.
Why are the issues with glyphosate relevant to the discussion about genetically modified crops?
Glyphosate is the chemical name for that compound that mm-hmm. is attributed for herbicidal action. Mm-hmm. The Roundup is a formulated product that includes other components besides just the glyphosate chemistry in order to increase its penetration into plant cells. Mm-hmm. Or its activity as an herbicide. When you have a genetically engineered crop that's resistant to glyphosate, it not only permits the wider use of the glyphosate, the extended exposure to it, but it also permits then the application of glyphosate directly on that crop, which many times we're consuming.
We've heard the first half of Virtual Renderings, Abominable Ways of Biotech, including the voices of Vandana Shiva, Andrew Kimbrell, Davis Suzuki, Dr. Stephanie Seneff, and others. I myself am Dr. Kenneth Doust. From Darkest Connecticut, I thank you for listening to New World Notes. On the web, that's newworldnotes.blogspot.com. Please remember, illegitimae non carborundum. An injury to one is an injury to all. War is not healthy for children and other living things. And for part two of the biotech collage, please come back again next week. Peace.